Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Thank you for that introduction. It is raining, storming, and lightning in Chicago. And that's why I'm having some sort of technical difficulties with the equipment here. So I'm just hoping that things will get better. It's rough. However, it's a beautiful time in Chicago. I'm glad you're out there. I'm glad you're here. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. This is George Wilder Jr. I'm the George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope it's a lot better than where you are. It can be a little trying sometimes when you have technical difficulties. The computer, if you're doing anything on a computer, you know the computer can go down at any moment. And this is a computer internet show. So if there's any cracks in the audio that you might hear, I'm sorry for that. But any difficulties, you know, I take the blame for everything because it's my show and I'm the producer and all of that kind of stuff. So glad you hung on, glad you waited, glad you're there. All right, let's get started. I believe author T.K. Ware is on the show. Let me go check this out. Hey, this is George. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Thank you for having me on. It's an honor to be here.
I'm glad to be here too, man. All the technical difficulties that I'm having with the show because of the weather. Sometimes it may not be the weather; it could be the equipment. So let's hope we can get through this. And I see we have another call on the line. Okay, this is author T.K. Ware. He's returning to the show. He's returning to the George Wilder Jr. Show. His previous book, If I Could, was great. I mean, I think he was a great interviewee for that. And he's back. Okay, tell us something about yourself and your upcoming projects or the new book that you have out now.
Okay, for those who are unaware of who I am an inspirational author who dives into different genres, you know, inspirational Christian fiction if you were to go into a bookstore. But my latest project was outside of fictional barriers. I stepped off into nonfiction, and it's called Run the Race, 50 Days of Inspiration.
Yeah.
And the race is not a track meet, but the race is life. You know, we all are going at our own pace, doing different things, and it can benefit us when we understand the process of life and how sidetracked by emotions or by problems or stress. But once you understand the total purpose of life and your journey, then it makes it easier. So 50 Days of Inspiration is just like vitamins. You can take or read one per day, and it will inspire you in some type of way. We're talking about emotions, talking about the mind, how to not be controlled by someone else's opinion. You know, we're encouraging people. You know, God smiles upon you. He is not thinking evil. So it's different things for each day according to the topic, and it will help someone enlighten someone's path and help them reach the pinnacle of success in their arena, because success is not limited to financial gain or obligation, but success is achievement and accomplishment wherever you are. So if you can move from wherever you are, that is success. because you have switched or shifted from a different point. So we talk about this throughout the book, and it was an inspiring read for me as I wrote it, so I'm sure others will too be inspired.
You know what? You might be right about that, because there's a lot of times when I'm writing a book or writing a manuscript, I also learn something from writing it, and I'm the author of it. I learn something about me or something about the characters. I learn something that I can take away and probably talk to others about.
Yes.
So that's true. That is very true. And do you consider yourself a motivational teacher, someone who tries to encourage people to better their lives, something like that? And what kind of feeling does it give you, a negative or a positive feeling, when you're trying to help someone to better their lives?
Well, I consider myself a motivational speaker and inspiring mm-hmm. speaker, a teacher in my own arena, according to God's word. I'm still learning. You know, I would never say I have arrived. So I'm still learning, and a lot of things I've learned
yeah.
from trial
yeah.
and experience, and also from
yeah.
studying. So I try to employ everything
yeah.
I've learned so that others will avoid certain downfalls and try to encourage people. We all need encouragement mm-hmm. sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I find joy yeah. in encouraging others.
Yeah, yeah, so do I. I try to motivate and inspire people too, because I want people to be the best that they can be. You know, a lot,
yes.
we all have talent, but some of us don't know how to utilize that talent. And sometimes we have to teach people that, yeah, you can make it, you can do it, but you have to, you know, put some effort behind it. Nothing
yes.
is going to come to you. Nobody's going to walk up and drop something in your lap, $1 million in your lap or something like that. You have to go out there and get it. You got to go get what you want. You want something, you got to go get it positively. You got to get up and go get it. Nobody's going to walk into your house and you're laying on the couch and drop, you know, money into your lap or
yes,
career
yes.
or job or anything.
That sounds
yeah.
like you've been reading my book. That's exactly what I talked about in my book.
I've read parts of it, but I also been, you know, doing some of this on my own too. I like your book. You know, I mean, I anything that's encouraging, enlightening, and get people up to trying to better themselves, because we got a lot of people out here just don't care. I mean, they have no ambition.
Yeah.
They have no motivation to try to better themselves. And we have
that's
to try
true.
To instill in we have to try to instill things inside of them to say, "Hey, you can do it. You can do it. You have talent. Just dig that talent up out of you, out of yourself, and go out and get what you want, because it's not going to come to you. You have to get out there and get it." And, you know, so many people think because they don't have anything that you are obligated to give them something. That's not true.
That's correct. You are correct. I hold hard.
Okay. Okay. You know, run the race. What I mean, if you can, you know, enlighten us a little bit. What do you mean by run the race?
For those who are familiar with any type of biblical teaching, then there's a particular scripture that says, run the race that is set before you. You know, and then there's others that said the race is not given to the swift. You know, so in other words, life itself is symbolic to a race. But at the end of this race is not a medal. But at the end of the race, for everyone, whether they want to accept it or not, is eternal life. So it's eternity. So we're running this race, and along this race, we will either stumble upon, you know, thorns or thistles or anything that can hinder our productivity as a human being. So life itself, as we mm-hmm. travel, everyone goes through experiences. So I use those experiences, you know, whether they're heartaches or problems, I use them as metaphors when I talk about thorns and thistles, because if you get pricked by anything, it's not going to destroy you, but it will hinder you if you're trying to do something. So when you go through problems, if you allow mm-hmm. the impact of the problem on you, then it will slow you down as you reach for whatever destiny you're aiming for, whatever your purpose or even a career, whatever you're trying to accomplish in life. That is your trophy. That is the end of this race that you're running. And no one can tell you how fast or how to go about doing whatever it is you're doing. You yourself have to understand your purpose. Once you understand your purpose, then you you check out, you own your own course, and at the end, you shall receive your medallion.
Okay, if you've written many books on, I'm assuming, on different subjects, what made you pick this particular book to want to talk about?
Well, it all started when I started blogging many years ago, and I found myself drawn to, and as many start following and commenting, I found myself drawn to helping people. And as I always have, as I've come to realize, I'm a seasonal writer. So every now, every so often,
that's a good
season
thing.
Will fall upon me, and so I'll know whether I'm going to go off into fiction. And I myself, I want to go finish. I have so many fictional projects to finish, but there is no shift right now. So right now I'm in this moment where I'm trying to motivate either through Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google Plus, all of my social media outlets. I'm steady motivated, and I haven't turned back toward writing my fiction book. So I know while I'm right here, I have to get everything out, because once this season moves, then I'll be back into my storytelling, which itself is inspirational, but it's of a different format. So I'm sitting right now, and when I began to go through it, and my editor went through it, and we began to talk about different things, and feel, okay, it's time, it's time, it's time. And well, the time manifested, so now it's here.
TK, can you take a phone call?
Okay.
Yeah, caller, you on with TK War? Where? Sorry. Caller, you're on with the author. My screen is lighting up saying you're there. Okay, we're not getting an answer, so we'll just go on. We'll just move on.
Okay.
Okay. Did you have any input in the book covers? I mean, you got some great-looking book covers out there. Did you have any input in...
Well, this particular one, I had all the input. I wanted it to...
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted it to kind of be, you know, different. And yet, you know, different in a simplistic manner, sort of. But I wanted the colors to be vibrant to where you see and, okay, and you can already understand the nature of the book. So I wanted to go different than my other books, which are more, you know, not simple, but they're more direct in their manner. So, yes, I had all the input, 100%. And I actually designed this one myself. I, you know, learned how to do a little creative art. So I designed this one myself and got the approval of my team, and we went with it.
Yeah, I'm going to say there's some great-looking book covers. I made me want to download them all. I mean, they just look so great, and I'm being for real about that. There's some great looking and inspiring covers, and you have talent. I mean, if you're designing, you have 100% input on your covers. That's talent. That is total talent, and I applaud that. You have one book called Trials of Injustice. I mean, the title alone makes you want to go pick that up and read it. It does. Not just sample it, but actually just read it, you know. So, and do you have a sample you want to read that you have for the run, the race?
Yes, I
an
have
excerpt.
One. It's from
you have the floor.
Day 30. Yes, it's from day 33. It's entitled A Tongue of Wisdom. We have a scripture just to kind of bring you into the title, and it says, a false pastor turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. That's in Proverbs 15:1. And it reads, sometimes it's best to hold your tongue. Words spoken verbally or through social media cannot be erased. Even if you personally erase the text message, Facebook post, email, the spirit of those words are eternal and can become detrimental. Try as much as possible to avoid responding from the seat of emotions, especially when you're the only passenger. We must always remember to respect our neighbor, regardless of their ethnicity. The world is filled with all types of people. J. juggling their own individual problems. So don't force your opinion unless you're invited. You never know what they are going through, juggling their problems and threw them at you violently. Now, that could result into a painful situation. So be wise in your dealing with people and remember to respect your neighbor as yourself. And that's day 33.
TK, you're breaking up.
I'm here.
Okay, you're breaking up, I believe. You're there?
Fixing it up. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you're breaking up, but that's okay. You have plenty of time.
How's the connection now?
Yeah?
Is our connection better?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit better. Go right ahead.
Okay, day 33, a tongue of wisdom.
Okay.
And the scripture reference was Proverbs 15:1. Turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. And it reads, sometimes it's best to hold your tongue. Words spoken verbally or through social media cannot be erased. Even if you personally erase the text message, Facebook post, Twitter, or any other social media outlet, the spirit of those words are eternal and can become detrimental. Try as much as possible to avoid responding from the seat of emotions, especially when you're the only passenger. We must always remember to respect our neighbor, regardless of their ethnicity. The world is filled with all types of people juggling their own individual problems. So don't force your opinion unless you're invited. You never know what they're going through. What if they stop juggling their problems and threw them at you violently? Now, that could result into a painful situation. So be wise in your dealings with people and remember to respect your neighbor as yourself. Be blessed and live prosperous. A tongue is a powerful force, creating and destroying. And that's the end of it.
Okay, can you tell us, what is your favorite chapter and why? Or do you have a favorite chapter?
I would, to be honest, I would say the most of the ones that dealing with the mind. So I have a lot of them that deals with thought process. So anything dealing with, because the mind controls the body. So anything dealing with the thought process, it kind of pulls me in. So, and it's too many to kind of pick one from. So I have to say the bulk of it.
Yeah, I know. This probably was an unfair question. How do you come up with your titles? Are they yours or are you just
well,
the book? Because you have some really fantastic titles.
Normally, I'm either sitting somewhere or I'm traveling and I love any type of herbal tea or anything just to kind of relax me. And as I begin to just meditate on life itself, the title will come up on me. And I'll have to stop whatever I'm doing. You know, if I'm driving, I'm not going to stop, but I'll record the title before, and I go back to it later. So the titles come. I never plan. I never sit and try to think, okay, what am I going to name? It comes just like the wind blowing. It just comes easily.
That's the same thing with me. Sometimes, you know what, sometimes I guess I'm a weird kind of a writer because majority of the time, before I start a project, I come up with the title first for some reason.
Yes.
And for some reason, because a lot of writers come up with the title after the manuscript is done. But before I even start, the manuscript, I come up with the title. I guess that's kind of weird. And I keep the title. And there are some titles that I have came up with, put them on the book, have nothing to do with what's inside of the book. It's just a great title to try to lure people to the book, you know.
Right.
But I try to make sure that the title reflects what's inside of the book, the content of the book.
Right.
But
right.
I try to come up with cool titles like you. You come up with those cool titles. I got to learn how to come up with those cool titles. Trials of Injustice. You know, I mean, I just like that. I think that it makes you want to read what's in the book. It really does. And so does Run the Race. I think that's good. I think that's a great one because I read parts of it. So And I love the fact that you are. Are you an advocate for trying to keep people and to start people to start thinking positive or something like that?
Yes.
Are you an
advocate?
Most
definitely.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is my joy. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much, you know, pain going on in the world, and sometimes we need to rise mentally above the pain or the situation, or not as bad as it seems. You know, if you have air in your lungs, if you're still in your right frame of mind, then there's a better day ahead. The sun will rise. So I try to instill and encourage hope in people as I travel and go from here to here.
You are so right, because this world is just whacked out. I'm going to be frank with you. I'm going to be point blank and say it. It's whacked out. You've got, if it can happen, if it's happening, it's happening right now.
Right.
And it's happening negatively. You know, this world is, I mean, to motivate people to try to be the best that they can be, I think is one of the greatest things anybody can do. And I try to motivate people because I know there's a lot of people out here that need motivating. And
that's true.
Some people, no one's, everybody thinks differently, and everybody goes about their tasks differently. So you have to kind of, some people you can't readily turn over, you know, so quickly, and some people you can get to real quickly. Because, you know, I think a lot of people out here need leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go ahead.
No, that's true. Everything you're saying is true, and I agree. And I was just having a conversation with someone even about that. Even with religious beliefs, you know, you can't force it on anyone, because if they're shown
right,
and go.
Right.
So you have to be gradual. You have to, you know, ease into that conversation and come to their level so they can see what you're talking about. So I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like I said, the world is so messed up. I mean, it is really messed up. And I try to tell people, if things are happening in the world that you can't do anything about, don't worry about it. It's not, if you can't do anything about it, just let it be and just move on with your life.
Yeah.
Don't sit there or wondering what's going on and you can't do anything about it. You know, I mean, it is what it is. You know,
yeah.
So move on and try to, you know, deal with the things you have to deal with to make your life better. And the things that you cannot control, leave it alone. You know, a lot of things happening that we don't like, and you know, but we're powerless in some cases to change it. But in some cases, we're not powerless. We just have to do things in groups. I mean, in groups, there is force. So, you know, like I said, we got to keep motivated, and we can't be down, because if we're down and not motivated, we're in trouble. We need to be motivated, positive, and we need to put some action behind our words.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sharing it.
Okay. This is TK Ware, poet and author, and one of the nicest guys in the world. Okay, so when you motivate people, you try to get them to have goals or to realize they do have goals to try to reach.
Well, yes. Depending on the age, because the younger people, I'm able to come. When I say younger, the teens, I'm able to come with the right into the mindset. Most of them have been placed in either by society or by situation. So in every arena, I try to pull them out from their place. And, you know, you can apply different type of concepts and, you know, different, you know, for one thing, everyone needs to understand that God is not, you know, sitting up high throwing boats of misery their way. He's not the author of confusion.
Yeah,
he has nothing to do with that. And so once you get people to realize that God is not angry with you, that he still loves you and he even has a plan for you, then you'll help them to see a better day. Even if they're presently in a terrible state, and I pull them out of that with words and encouragement, seed of change. And hopefully in time that seed will grow and they will partake of the fruit.
Yeah, I totally agree. TK, who was the writer that influenced you? Or writers?
There are so many. Because I have become, well, I guess you can call it a student of the craft now. In my earlier years, I was just running off talent and running off a gift. But now I sit and I'm studying different authors and different genres. I read in every genre because every author has a talent. And you may not agree with what they're writing, but they have a talent. And if you can, you can glean from a certain portion, and you can apply it, you know, different areas. So, and my bishop is a writer, and he has written many books. And there are other men and women of God that have written many books. My bishop, Bishop S.D. James, has written books. I've read some of the books on television from Bishop Noel and Bishop T.D. Jakes and Creflo, and so many. I go to the library. I just read, and I take in knowledge, and I apply it where I can apply it, and I see the format. So I wouldn't say one particular person inspired me, but a collective group of those who write for a purpose, you know, not just to entertain, but to encourage. So any author who writes to encourage, they inspire me.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm inspired by that, too, because it's just a great thing to do to encourage people. And when you're encouraging people and you're telling people to utilize their talents that they have, because we all have talents, in a way, that's helping people. When you try to help them to see themselves. And I've always said, if you can't help somebody out, why are you on earth? What are you here for?
Yes.
We're here to help each other out. You know, we're here to help each other out. Even the person over there who may not want help, you know. We're going to keep trying and keep trying to help that person, but if that person is just too far gone, we have to move on.
Yes.
Yeah. So, how do you find inspiration?
Well, of course, when I'm not writing and doing other things, I try to spend as much time as possible. And, you know, in church, you know, just try to, I can stay grounded in everything and, you know, of course, worship. And so just traveling a lot. A lot of times traveling when I'm alone because I'm alone, so I have so much time. You know, I don't have any children or anything. And so when I'm alone, my mind gets to just relax. And I'll maybe go to a calm setting. And it's in that place, you know, that almost like inspiration finds me. Whenever I'm calm and everything is relaxed, even if chaos is around me, I've learned how to bring myself into subjection and just relax. And inspiration will find me. Then I'll write out of chaos. And that writing would be one of the most inspiring pieces I've written.
You know, I've always said that authors and writers are all brothers and sisters in the written word. And I believe that. I do believe that because, you know, even though no writer or no author, we're different. We're not the same, but we're the same in authoring and writing, you know. So I guess I'm saying that to say that we all have to try to inspire each other. We all have to try to motivate each other. We all have to try to say, hey, just because that book didn't sell doesn't mean that your second book is not going to sell. You want to keep people motivated and keep them writing. And that's it. And I always say, if you can't help somebody better themselves, especially if you have the talent to help someone be more motivated, then why are we here on earth? My thinking is that if you have a talent, and you don't, I'm not talking about money or being, you know, rich or anything, but you can have knowledge, the knowledge you can teach and give to others to help them out, you know.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, how
that's
do you
with knowledge.
How are you going to Yeah.
Knowledge is
how are you going to build?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
No, I'm stepping on you. I don't want to step. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with your statement about knowledge, and knowledge is one of the most valuable piece that you can give someone.
Yeah, I tell my son that knowledge is power. The more you know, the further you're going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's true. You don't have to have a pocket full of money. You know, I mean, your knowledge, your brain power can get you there. You know, because a lot of people like people who are smart. People gravitate towards you for your knowledge. You know, they're not gravitating towards you because how much money you might have in your pocket. They want to hear what you have to say, or you know, hear what you can say to try to better their lives. You know, so it's knowledge. It's that knowledge. So, how are you going to build anticipation for this book? You got to get out there and tell people about it, you know.
Well, I'm actually going to host an event in Troy area.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for sometime next month, and we're going to host an event and, of course, contact the newspaper and everything so that everyone can come out. And I'm going to actually talk about the book instead of just a book signing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to actually talk about it, you know, in a presentation. And maybe interact with different people to try to bring them into the content of the book so they understand, you know, this type of book. And we're also going to travel. We travel in parts of Georgia and parts of Florida and parts of, I actually had to go to Louisiana for a book festival that I've been invited to. So we're going to use every outlet in the midst of this circle to kind of spread the word on this particular book.
Mm-hmm. So what is your advice for aspiring writers? How do you motivate writers to keep writing, especially when some of them want to give up? It's got a lot of people out there want to give up writing because they think that, you know, it's not for them. How would you motivate them to keep writing?
Well, I always tell them 6 words.
Mm-hmm.
Write. Learn the craft.
Yeah.
That's
short and sweet.
The more you write, and just enjoy it. You know, don't try to, you know, fit into anyone's box. Enjoy it. Write. And the more you write, it becomes easy. The more and more.
Yeah.
Just never give up.
Yeah, never give up. Keep doing it. And don't let those naysayers out there try to discourage you, because a lot of people out there do get discouraged because other people around them will tell them, hey, that's, you know, what are you doing that for, you know?
Exactly.
So where can we find your book?
Well, you can go, of course, my website, www.tk-ware.com. You can find me on Instagram at gospelwriter8. You can find me on Facebook, TK Ware, and, of course, Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can go into Barnes & Noble stores and Books A Million stores, give them my name, and they'll pull them up.
Okay, a couple of more quick questions.
Okay.
What is the toughest criticism that you've ever received?
Toughest criticism.
And
I would just talk to someone about this. My first book, and that's why I said write, learn the craft. The first book, I was so happy. You know, it was my first book, and everyone was happy and applauding me about it, but this was my immediate circle. When you're dealing with the society, everybody's not going to like your book, and they're going to critique it.
Exactly.
And this one particular person said, they talked about my character development, and it hurt me because I was clueless to character development, and it hurt me so bad that I actually wanted to take the book off, and I almost just said forget about writing. But then once I learned character development, I understood why they said what they said, because it actually opens up the story. So that was that hurt to the core. I mean, that was my first book, and someone talked about character development, and I was clueless to what character development was, and so it really hurt. That I would say that is the toughest.
Yeah, people can be brutal. Critics, they can be brutal. Okay, on the flip side of that, what is your most nicest compliment as being a writer?
Well, the one before Run the Race, because as I said, I'm in this inspiring mode. I wrote one that's entitled Battling Overcome Itself. And this particular person sent me an email, and this is the first time I received an email, and I'm not going to share everything, but the gist of the email was she said that she believed that the book came to her at the right time in her life, and she wanted to thank me, and she said that, you know, she is now doing better mentally because of the book. It helped her see herself and helped her see that she doesn't need to be concerned with the opinion of others. Only God's opinion about her matters. And because she was going through a lot of almost type of peer pressure and bullying, you know, because age has no limit on it. So the book, it shifted her mindset concerning a lot of things. And the review, it touched me deeply because I never received a review like this. And she encouraged me to continue writing because your writing is with purpose and you really have helped me. And so that's what it's all about.
That makes you feel good. It really does. And you know what? But it does not only just make you feel good. It encourages you to keep on writing, you know.
Yes, it does.
And that makes you feel good. All right, T.K. Ware, author, poet on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you so much for being here, man. It has been great as always. You're always informative. You're always enlightening. And you're always inspirational and motivational.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. The honor is
all
mine.
Oh, no problem. Okay, see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was author T.K. Ware on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being there. Thank you. Luckily, I can say that we've had no computer problems so far. At least no major ones. At least no major computer problems. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. I'm going to take a break right here, and I will be right back. Let me see if I can hook up some audio. Boom, 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 boom. All right, here we go, here we go, here we go. Let me see. I guess this will be good. All right, be right back. I wanted to say, Dr. Sally Burbank was on the show yesterday. We had a few difficulties, weather-related. I'm not sure, but maybe something to that effect. However, she was on the show talking about diabetes disease that's killing people. And we got through it. We got through some of the show. We didn't get through all of it. But I think we got through about 30 to 40 minutes of the show before the computers went bluey. And I called her to apologize and all of that thing. She accepted, and she said she can return to the show July 11th, which is pretty cool. I like that. That's okay. And I hope she is okay, but I'm pretty sure she is. But I guess I'm a little nervous now because I don't want this the computers to go bluey on me right now because I'm on the show. But anyway, she was talking about diabetes, and she didn't get all the way through telling us about it because of the problem that I had. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a clip of Dr. Jason Fung. He's going to tell us what diabetes is all about. He's going to tell us if it's curable or not. He's going to tell us what we need to do to rid ourselves of diabetes forever. So I'm going to put this clip on, and I hope you get something out of it. I'm here to try to save lives. Diabetes take lives. There's a lot of people out there who are advocates for what is diabetes, and that's fine. That's okay. I'm just another one. Dr. Sally Burbank is also another one, and this guy is Dr. Jason Fung. He's around the internet, so trying to save lives just like I am, Dr. Jason Fung. And here he is. It's going to be a while, but this is okay because we're trying to save lives here. We're trying to, get those who have type 2 diabetes to try to control it, get it under control, because that's what it takes, getting it under control, and, and living our lives. So here he is, Dr. Jason Fung on diabetes.
Diabetes, they tell you, is a chronic disease. So this is what happens, and this is what happens in all studies. And if you've taken medications, you know this is what happens. So your sugars start out actually not bad. As you take the medications, the sugars actually comes down a bit. But over the years, the effect sort of wears off. So then you wind up having to add more and more and more medications. So what happens is that no matter what drug you take, so these compare three drugs, metformin, glibride, and rosiglitazone. So no matter what drug you take, the initial effect is very good, up to about 6 months. And then after about 6 months, the effect kind of wears off, and you can see that the sugar slowly goes up. And so what happens is that you wind up on a second medication or a third medication. And this is pretty well what happens to everybody. So if you've had diabetes for a while, and many people have had it for 10, 12, 15 years, what you find is that you start off on metformin, then you go to metformin and glibride, then maybe three agents or four agents, then you wind up on a little bit of insulin, then you wind up on more insulin and more insulin. And if you think about the diabetes, if you think about who has, mild diabetes and who has severe diabetes, you can see that the people who are just on the little bit of metformin are, have mild diabetes, and if you're on a lot of insulin, you have very severe diabetes. So in fact, over these years, despite what everybody tells you, your diabetes is just getting worse and worse and worse. So your sugars might go up, they might go down, but your diabetes is actually getting worse. And I think that's what confuses people a lot, because they think that the sugar and the diabetes are the same thing, but they're actually not. But over that period of time, you can see that no matter what, it's actually progressing, and they say it's a progressive disease. So this is the thing that you have to understand, that the sugars and the diabetes are actually two different things. So diabetes, the real heart of diabetes is the insulin resistance, okay? So that part is what's getting worse. The sugars is really just a symptom of the insulin resistance, okay? But it's not the actual diabetes. The actual diabetes is the resistance to insulin and the subsequent very high levels of insulin. If you want to think about it, in the analogy, you can think about an infection. So if you have an infection, so you have a big, infection in the lungs or whatever, that's the actual disease. The symptom is the fever, okay? So what you have to do is treat the disease, which is the infection, with antibiotics. You can't treat the symptom of the fever. So if you have a very bad infection, you need antibiotics. You don't need more and more Tylenol. So diabetes is the same thing. The disease is about insulin resistance, but the symptom is the high blood sugar. And yet all our treatment is directed against the high blood sugar. So you can see that controlling the high blood sugars actually doesn't do anything for you, because you're not actually treating the disease. The disease actually continues to progress. And that's the real problem. So up to about 5 years ago, we thought that treating the sugars would make you better, right? And this is what probably all of you have heard. Your sugars are doing fine, your sugars are doing fine. So if you think that the sugars is the same thing as the diabetes, then you think that the diabetes is doing fine. But it turns out about 5 years ago that they did three very large studies. And what they found was that no matter if your sugars were well controlled or poorly controlled, it actually didn't make any difference. You still got complications of diabetes. You still got the disease, you know, the heart disease, the strokes. You got the, you know, the eye disease, the kidney disease, all of it. So none of that was made better by controlling the sugars. And if you think about it this way, you can see why. Because you're not actually treating the disease. You're only treating the symptoms. So just like if you take Tylenol for an infection, it might make you look better, but it doesn't actually make you better. So this is the same thing. So the diabetes is the insulin resistance. So you have to understand what is the cause of the insulin resistance, and then you actually have to treat it. So you have to treat the insulin resistance and not the sugars. Now, at a certain point when your sugars are very high, yes, you have to treat it. But that's not what is really important in the disease. The real part of the heart of the disease is the insulin resistance. And because they don't really understand what causes the insulin resistance, they can't actually treat it. So all your treatments, all the metformin, all the glyburide, all the insulin, all of that is aimed at simply treating the sugars. So here's the real question. What causes the insulin resistance? And this is what's happening in the body. This is just a cartoon. So normally the insulin causes you to lower the blood sugars. That's what it does. As you eat, you know, your blood sugars go up and insulin is released to take that sugar out of the blood and into the tissues. And that's a normal thing. When you develop insulin resistance, it's the insulin doesn't seem to work as well. So what happens is that the body kind of pumps up the levels of insulin to make it work well enough to get your sugars out of the way. But the high insulin level is a result of the insulin resistance. But what causes the insulin resistance in the first place? And that's really what you need to understand in order to treat it. Because if you know what causes the insulin resistance, then you can treat it. And it turns out that it's actually the insulin that causes the insulin resistance. And that might seem funny at first, but in fact, that's what happens in most biological systems. So if you look at any other hormone, if you get exposed to it, your body develops resistance to it. So if you look at addictive drugs or alcohol or anything, or smoking or anything, as you take the first one, say for instance marijuana or cocaine or one of these addictive drugs, or you can take Valium or any of these antipsychotics and stuff, as you take the first one, you get a real high, but every subsequent one is a little bit lower. So you wind up having to take higher and higher doses to get the same effect. And that's really resistance or tolerance. And it happens for all drugs. Insulin is exactly the same. As you take more and more insulin, your body develops more and more resistance to it. And now you see that it's actually a real vicious cycle, because what happens is that if your insulin level is high, then you get some insulin resistance. As you get insulin resistance, you get higher insulin levels. As you get higher insulin levels, you get higher resistance, and it goes round and round. So you have a vicious circle. And in fact, treatment with insulin now is not simply not effective. It's actually making things worse because you're feeding into that cycle. So while the insulin lowers your sugars, it is actually raising your insulin resistance. So in fact, it's making things worse. You're getting more diabetes by taking the insulin. And that's the real problem. When you understand the actual disease, you can see why current standard treatment is actually not only not effective, it's actually really, really, really bad for you, because you're treating the exact, what is actually causing the disease is what you're treating it with. That's never going to work, right? It's just not going to work. So if you think about it, the problem is that the insulin level is too high. So you're not going to make things better by taking more insulin. It's like treating an alcoholic with alcohol, right? This is exactly the same thing. So the same thing happens in alcohol. If you take alcohol, the first one you get, you know, a real buzz, and then every subsequent one is a little lower. And what happens is that if you take the alcohol, your symptoms, you feel a little bit better. but you're not making the alcoholism any better, right? This is the exact same thing. The problem is that your insulin levels are too high. So how can taking more insulin possibly be good for you? And the truth is that it wasn't. It was never good for you. In fact, it made things worse. But people didn't really understand that. And because they didn't understand that, they then made an excuse for themselves by saying that this is a chronic progressive disease. But the truth is that diabetes was not a chronic progressive disease because we know that we can cure it in many cases. So if you do weight loss surgery or gastric banding or bariatric surgery, basically if you staple somebody's stomach, their diabetes goes away in like 90% of cases. So this was not a chronic progressive disease. This is a curable disease. So if you say that this is a curable disease, yet our treatment is making people worse, the only logical conclusion is that our treatment is completely incorrect. And that's exactly what it is. So when you're thinking about treatment of diabetes, there's a few things you have to consider. One, you have to understand that the key to treating diabetes is not to take more insulin. That makes things worse. The key is how are you going to get those insulin levels really low? The second thing is that diabetes is a dietary disease, okay? Almost for sure it's a dietary disease. We know that. Yet, if it's a dietary disease, the cure is going to have to be dietary. You can't take a dietary disease and treat it with drugs and pretend that that's going to make things better. But yet that's what we've done. We've taken a disease which is dietary in nature and we've prescribed you drugs that suppress the symptoms. It's not going to make it better, and it hasn't. The last 30 years has borne it out. The third thing is that this is not a chronic progressive disease at all. This is, in fact, a curable disease, but you have to treat it the right way. You have to understand what you're doing. So one of the things we do in our clinic is that we are looking at ways of how to lower the insulin levels. And that's the real thing. And one of the simpler ways to do it is intermittent fasting. And that's why we have a lot of people on these sort of protocols. And one of the things to remember is that fasting has been done for many, many years. You know, everybody thinks that it's so crazy. Everybody hears about it at first and thinks it's crazy. But you have to remember that fasting has been done for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And not only that, but almost every single major religion in the world has periods of fasting that are prescribed. Not because, you know, of any particular reason, but they recognize that it is actually a very healthy thing for people to be doing every so often. And why is it so healthy? Because what happens is that when you fast, your insulin levels go down very low. Because you're not eating, your insulin levels go down. And having periods where your insulin level is down helps prevent that vicious cycle, right? It's the insulin that leads to the resistance, which leads to higher insulin. It's a vicious cycle. So if every once in a while, you know, you do Ramadan, which is a month of fasting, or you do, you know, the 40 days of Lent, or whatever it is you do, if you have a period now where your insulin level is very low, you're going to completely break that vicious cycle. And if you do that routinely through the year, then you will stay healthy. You will prevent the development of that resistance. If you don't get the resistance, you don't get the high levels. And that's what we do. So I'm going to show you here what we do kind of in a demonstration. So what we do in terms of the sugars, you can think about it this way. The body actually has the ability to store energy in two ways. So when you eat, you're taking in energy as food. Right, so you can store that in two ways. You can store sugar and you can store fat. Okay, so sugar is stored in the liver as something called glycogen. And there's a limited amount of glycogen that you can store in the liver, but it's readily available. Okay, so it's kind of like a short-term storage, but you can store sugar. If you store more energy than fat, the body will actually turn that into fat, and that's kind of long-term food energy storage, right? So as long as you're eating, you're going to be burning that off. You're going to be increasing insulin, and insulin is going to tell your body to store some of that away. Okay? So if you have too much sugar, what happens is that some of that is going to go into the stores. But as long as your stores are not full, it's not going to spill over into the blood. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to demonstrate it this way. Normally, as you take a little thing to eat, if you don't have filled up stores of sugar, what's going to happen is that you're going to fill it up a little bit, right? But it's fine. As you don't eat, so for instance, you eat dinner, you take in more calories than you can really use for that period of time. So your body produces insulin, and insulin says to the body, okay, well, I've eaten a big meal. I'll use a little bit of that as energy. The rest I'm going to put in storage as sugar, okay, because that's what I do. So it fills up the storage, but the storage is empty, so it's fine. Then you go to sleep, so for the next, 9, 12 hours, you're not eating. So what happens is that your body is going to take that and it's going to burn it off as energy. So that's fine. That's the normal situation. Now what happens in the diabetic situation is something like this. So over time, your storage is, empty. But over time, as you kind of continue to eat more and more, what happens is that storage kind of gets filled up. And now here's the situation in diabetes. This is your storage levels of sugar, right? They're completely full, right? And what you do when you eat is this. You're going to take in a meal, and you're going to have more sugar. And what's going to happen? It's all going to spill over into the blood, right? So the blood sugar levels go up. There's nothing it can do. It can't store any more. So for a while, your body can compensate. But what does insulin do? So now you're diabetic, and this is what happens every mealtime. Your storage is filled up. Every time you eat, the sugar spills out into the blood. Well, as you take insulin to take care of that problem, the body is going to take that excess sugar and force it back into the body. So what happens to that? Your body is just going to store it as fat. In other words, the insulin is going to make you gain weight. And if you've ever taken insulin, you know already that's exactly what happens. But this is the problem. If you continue to do this day after day, year after year, all you do is gain weight, right? But it doesn't make you any better because all that sugar is still in your body. So it's kind of like that show Hoarders. I don't know if you've seen it, but people, hoard too much stuff and their house is full of stuff. So pretty soon the stuff flows out. And what happens? If you're taking insulin, all you're doing is taking all that garbage and shoving it back into the house. Well, that's not going to help. That's not going to make things better. In fact, over time, it's just going to make things worse. And that's exactly what happens in the current treatment of diabetes. So this is what we do instead. If your cup is completely full, the only rational treatment for diabetes, so this is the situation now in diabetes, your cup is completely full. The only way that's going to make you better is to start draining it off. So that's what you do. So as you fast, what happens? A little bit of this water is going to come out and it's going to get burned off. The next time you fast, a little bit more of this water is going to come and it's going to get drained off. Every single time you do it. So when you eat, it will fill back up a little bit, right? But as you go, what's going to happen is eventually your stores are going to come down and it won't spill over into the blood. You're basically just forcing the body to burn off that sugar. But as you do, you reduce the stores of sugar and you get better. Your diabetes gets better because now you're burning it off. It's like that guy in Hoarders. Instead of shoving it back into your house, which is what the insulin does, we're just going to throw it out. And really, that's really the reason that we do this. You have to lower insulin levels, but you got to get rid of that sugar, okay? You've stored up too much, and it hasn't been stored up over like a month. It's been stored up over like 10 years, right? So the thing is that it's not going to reverse in a week or a month or 2 months even. Yes, if you do fasting every day, it will reverse faster, right? Because you're getting rid of that sugar every day. So this is what we do. And a few patients actually have been kind enough to share their stories with us. Well, I'll present a few other cases because we've had, you know, quite a number of people go through the program. So I'll just share their stories with you quickly, because really it illustrates really how powerful this new concept is. So the first case we have is Richard, who's here today. And so he's had diabetes for about 10 years now, and he's had a few complications, including some kidney disease, which is why he was here in this office. And he saw a colleague of mine, Dr. Ting, and so he was referred into the Intensive Dietary Management Program, and we started him in June of 2013. And we started him with a fasting regimen as opposed to the amount of insulin that he had. So this is Richard and his wife. Oh, I can't see that very well. And this is what's happened to his weight. So his weight, starting just above 250, has been steadily coming down. And it's down to 210. His waist size has continued to come down. And his hemoglobin A1C, which is the measure of his sugars, has stayed relatively stable, below 7%. And this is him now. So if you look at what has happened to his insulin dose, so he started off with 55 units of insulin. And within, you know, 6 weeks, he was off of all his insulin. In other words, his sugars are doing fine, and he's off of all his medications completely. And his, you know, his levels of A1C are no longer at a level where you could make the case that he is diabetic. In other words, you could say that his diabetes has been cured. By using these kind of simple understanding of diabetes, you can see that this is actually the rational but also the natural way to cure diabetes. We're not talking about piling on more drugs for you. I mean, you go to some of these places, they'll tell you to take these experimental drugs and they want to sign you up for drug trials. No. What we're doing has been done for thousands of years and is in fact exactly the way they used to treat diabetes. But they understood that it was a dietary disease. It has to be treated with dietary measures. This is the second case, Balraj, who's here this morning as well. So he was diagnosed in 2003 with diabetes, and he also had some complications of that. And so, you know, after treating him incorrectly for many years, I started him on the intensive dietary management program because, you know, back then I didn't understand much of this myself. Much of this is new. So he started in August, and so his weight has come down a bit. But, you know, he started at 186, and he's come down, you know, 8, 10 pounds or so. His waist has come down, but you can see his sugars, his hemoglobin A1C has stayed very good. And this is his medications. So again, starting at over 40 units, about 40 units a day of insulin. So this is what he had to take. Within 5-7 weeks, he was down to zero. He is no longer taking insulin. He's no longer taking any medications for his diabetes. Which, again, you could say, if your sugars are good and you're no longer on any medications, you could say that your diabetes has been cured. In essence, what we're doing is exactly the same thing we do with the stomach stapling surgery. So the stomach stapling surgery, the cure rates for diabetes are like 90%. But the benefits are because of the fasting. They cut your stomach so you can't eat. In other words, you're fasting. But if all the benefits come from fasting, why do the surgery at all? It doesn't even make sense. Just do the fasting. This is another case. He's not here, but he's a 45-year-old Filipino man, and he was just recently diagnosed with diabetes. He started with a hemoglobin A1C of 8.7%. So anything over 6.5% is considered diabetes. Anything over 7% is diabetes. But he was newly diagnosed, and he really didn't want to start any medications. So I said to him, well, if you don't want to start medications, then come into my program, and we'll treat you. And we'll treat you, and therefore you won't have to take medications. So it had been slowly rising over the last 6 months, and what happened was that he started in June. His weight, again, came down. It came down about 3 kilos. But his A1C continuously came down. So you can see that his final A1C at the end of 10-12 weeks was 6.3%. So again, at a level that you wouldn't be able to say that he has diabetes. So in other words, this fellow instead of taking medication and then later taking more medication, then more medication, then more medication, we're able to treat him right off the bat with a dietary regimen, and he's been able not to take any medications. In essence, his diabetes has been cured. So again, lots of cases. Another fellow, 66-year-old Chinese man, much the same story. Type 2 diabetes, which was recently diagnosed in 2012, and you can see that his sugars were really high. His A1C was 10.5%. I told him to try different things, but I just saw him actually in September of 2013, and his A1C was still 9.4%. And he didn't have a drug plan, so he really didn't want to take any medication. So I said, well, if you don't want to take medications, come into the program, and that should say September 2013. So we started him a few months ago, and this is what's happened. So as he's following the program, his sugars are coming down, exactly what we would expect. And as you follow the program longer, you're burning off those stores of sugar, and your hemoglobin A1C is coming down. So he went from 9.4 to 8.4, and I just saw him at 7.3. So again, all without medications, and I'm hoping that he will never have to take medications. Another case, Desmond, he had some heart problems. He also had diabetes, and he's here this morning as well to share his story. He also had a bit of complications, the heart disease, the neuropathy. And this is what we did. Again, with diabetes, it causes all kinds of problems, right? So you get heart problems, you get kidney problems, you get eye problems, all kinds of problems. And the thing about it is that there's nothing we can do about those kidney problems or those eye problems because it's the diabetes which is killing the kidneys, the heart, and all that sort of thing. If you don't do anything about the diabetes, you can't do anything about the kidneys or the eyes or anything else because the root of the problem is the diabetes. So you have to take care of the diabetes. And the way that we had been treating him was making the diabetes worse and worse. So we started him on the program, and again, his weight has been slowly coming down, as you might expect. His waist size has come down, and his sugars actually have stayed very, very good. But if you look at his doses of insulin now, again, starting at about 25 units a day, we're able to bring him down, and now he's no longer on any insulin. We switched him instead to one of the pills, which is, you know, for many reasons, is much better. It's safer, it's much less, you don't have to poke yourself all the time, you don't have to check your sugars all the time, but really he's been able to come down of all those medications. If your medications are coming down, you're coming off of the insulin, you're going on to pills instead, it means your diabetes is getting better, right? Before, every single year your diabetes was getting worse, and now for the first time, we see everybody's diabetes getting better. It's reversing because instead of having higher insulin levels leading to higher resistance, now we have lower insulin levels leading to less resistance. So you're actually driving that cycle now in reverse, and that's why it's working so well. And that's just a recent picture of him now. A couple more cases. So Frank, who couldn't be here, we asked him to be here, and he said that he's... I think he was away, so he couldn't come, but he did want to come. He also had diabetes and kidney disease, and he actually didn't really want to start. He calls himself a grumpy old goat because he didn't really want to start. He didn't think it was great, but I kind of talked him into it. I said, you know, you really should try it because there's nothing to lose by trying it. If you don't like it, then you don't do it. But we were able to start him on the program, and you can see here again, his weight is coming down nicely. His waist size is coming down. His sugars are improving almost every single time. And if you look at his doses of medication, again, he started on 45 units a day of insulin. By the time we finished with him, he's on no insulin. And he's just taking a pill. So again, you can see that his diabetes is getting better. His sugars might go up and down. The sugars actually get better as you treat the disease. Just like if you treat with antibiotics, your fever goes away, because your disease is getting better. You don't have to treat with Tylenol, because if you get rid of the infection, the disease, the symptoms go away. It's the same with the diabetes. As you treat the diabetes, the high sugars goes away, because the high sugars was just the symptom. You can't treat the symptoms and expect the disease to get better. But as you treat the disease, the symptoms get better. So everyone here, their sugars are coming down. We're not treating the sugars particularly. We're treating the disease. Another fellow who is here, I follow for high blood pressure, and I've seen him for quite some time, actually. And he was also diagnosed with type 2 diabetes as far back at least as 2004. He'd been on insulin since 2007. And his main problem was actually high blood pressure. But I said, well, you know, high blood pressure goes along with the whole metabolic syndrome. So, in fact, the diabetes and the weight and the hypertension and the high cholesterol, they're actually all caused by the high insulin levels. So I said, well, with this high blood pressure, we need to do something. So I said, well, we need to get you into the program because he was on probably 8 different medications for high blood pressure. And his pressure was still like 200, right? So we put him in the program, and what happened to him, his insulin levels, his insulin dose went from 70 units a day to right now zero. He's just on some pills. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. His blood pressure is getting better. His blood sugars, again, they go up and down. We can see that they're all within the normal range. But we went from 70 units of insulin a day to zero in less than 3 months. So 5 years of insulin that he's been taking every single day, not getting better, getting worse. Over time, it just gets worse. But now it's starting to reverse finally. And another fellow who isn't able to come, but we call Mr. Yes, he much the same story. He had been on insulin for many, many years. And as everybody here, he started with a medication, then he took more medications, then he took insulin, then he took more insulin. By the time they were done with him, he was on 140 units of insulin a day. And that's not even that unusual. I see lots of people with that kind of high dose. So as we got him into the program, his waist size was coming down, his weight is coming down, his sugars are getting better, and he's not completely off insulin, but he's down to about 30, 40 units a day. So from 140 down to about 30 or 40. So significant improvement. I mean, because he started so high, it's going to take a little bit longer. But again, you can see that as you continue to do it, it gets better. And this is Robert. He's also here this morning, but he's done extremely well again. So the same story, type 2 diabetes treated with medications and more medications and more medications. Finally, they put him on insulin, and then I recently saw him, and I said, whoa, insulin, now this is not good news, right? So I said, forget that. We need to get you into the program. We need to get you treated correctly, because if you're not treated correctly, I've seen this movie before. It goes insulin, more insulin, more insulin, more insulin. In fact, his insulin dose went very quickly up to close to 40 units a day. So as we got him started, his weight started to come down, his waist size came down, his sugars got better, and look, within 3 weeks, he was off of all his insulin and just taking medications. Now we're working on getting rid of the rest of his medications. So that is the power of being able to treat it correctly. And these are not isolated cases. We actually see responses in, you know, the majority of patients because we're doing the things the right way. If you do it the wrong way, you'll never get any benefit from it. And that's what we've been doing all along. So the key here really is to lower insulin levels. And there's more than one way to do it. We use intermittent fasting because it's a very simple way to do it. But there's actually a number of ways to reduce insulin because that's really the key. The insulin is what causes the diabetes. What's interesting also is that the insulin causes obesity. And that's why they go together, because they have the same cause. They're both caused by the same thing. So whether you're here for weight loss or whether you're here for diabetes, they're both caused by the same thing. They're diseases of too much insulin. And if you understand that they're diseases of too much insulin, now you can say, that's good to know, because now I need to know how are we going to reduce the insulin level. That's the key. So intermittent fasting is one way. The second way is to reduce your dietary refined carbohydrates. So carbohydrates tend to raise the insulin levels very high, and therefore they're something that you should reduce. There are also several protective factors. So there are factors that protect against the rising insulin. And one of those is a high-fat diet, which is very interesting because for many years you've probably heard that you should eat a low-fat diet. And what I'm saying is actually that wasn't good for you at all, because the fat actually helps protect you by keeping those insulin levels down. Fiber does much the same thing, so high fiber diets also help protect against the rise in insulin. Vinegar, so many traditional foods are very high in vinegar, pickled foods and that sort of thing are protective. And certain spices may also benefit, so cinnamon and turmeric and certain other spices may also have a role in protecting. So some people take other extracts like bitter melon juice, and that's the same sort of thing. There are probably natural compounds which also help protect against the rising insulin. But the key is, whatever way you do it, it's all done in the same manner. It's to reduce insulin levels. So you can do it with fasting, or you can do it with these very low carbohydrate diets. Now, the one question that everybody always asks about the high fat diet is that, isn't that going to clog up my arteries? And that's what we've taught you about. Oh, before I forget this. So this is the hormonal obesity theory, which is what it's all based on, which, again, the real key is the insulin levels. So insulin levels, these are protective factors, but it's all to do with this vicious cycle between insulin and insulin resistance. Fructose, carbohydrates, wheat, they all play into the high insulin diet that we all eat. And that's one of the reasons that we're getting the obesity crisis, the diabetes crisis, is because we have a very high insulin sort of a diet. Processing is what's really bad, because it strips out the fat and strips out the fiber. So you're taking out these major protective factors, and therefore you're leading to increased insulin levels. And that's what we have to combat. The insulin leads not only to the weight and the diabetes, but also a whole list of things, which then leads to the heart disease, the cancer, and all these other things. So it's...
Thank you. All right, this is George Wilder of the George Wilder Jr. Show. You've just been listening to Dr. Jason Fung. Basically, he was telling us, that there is a cure for diabetes. It can be reversed, but you have to do the right thing. And the show will be recorded. You can always download it, archive it, and, you know, learn something a little bit about diabetes. And if you do have the disease, I would probably say to you is to find as much as you can out about the disease. If you have something, you want to know more about it, because you want to know how to treat it, how to go about trying to live with the disease as long as you possibly can. Diabetes is a reversible disease. There's no doubt about it. Don't let your doctor say it is not. For years and years and years, like the doctor said, you've been told not to eat fat. Don't eat fat. Matter of fact, my doctor told me a couple of months ago, do not eat fat. But there's so many experts in the field that tell you, do not eat. That's a myth from 30 years ago. Eat fat. Eat as much as you fat, because you need fat and you need fiber. If they work to help lower your insulin levels of the disease. Okay, we're trying to save lives here. Okay, eat fat, eat fiber. If you have to eat, because that's what's killing you. It is. Lower your carbohydrates is nothing but sugar. Okay, anything you eat can be processed into sugar. Okay, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a physician, I'm just learning just like you are. But, I mean, you got 60 to 70% of people in the United States living with diabetes. Some of people are succumbing to it because they don't understand it. They don't know how to react. They can't control it. You can't control it. As the doctor said, you can't control it by taking more insulin on top of insulin, more medication on top of medication. You're actually making the disease worse. Insulin make you fat. Insulin make you dependent. And you have to realize one thing, that when you go to the doctor or the hospital or wherever you're going, or the clinic, they're going to always prescribe you all kind of medication. Medication you really don't need. Medication that's going to actually make you sicker. The healthcare industry is profitable. They want to keep you on medication because they want more money in their pockets. They're going to tell you not to eat fat. By not eating fat, they know that's going to be trouble for you and your diabetes. You need to eat fat. Fat is good. Load up on it. It's going to lower your insulin levels so you don't need medication. They don't want you to eat fat because if you eat fat, you won't need the medication that they're going to prescribe to you, and that's less money in their pockets. Research your disease. And if you get diagnosed with diabetes, and the doctors give you some advice, get two or three other professional opinions on it. You owe it to yourself. Doctors are just human. They can make mistakes. They can make the wrong call. Get two or three other opinions and research your disease. Learn as much as you can about it so you can live with it, control it, and possibly have it reversed. You will have diabetes no more. This is not just me saying that. This is these great young physicians, people who have studied diabetes for years. Their only profession in life is diabetes. So they know, okay? They know. Eat fat, but don't. You've been hurt, like the doctor said, you've heard so many years that eating fat is going to clog your arteries. That's a myth. Eating carbohydrates is going to screw you up. When you go to the store and shop, make sure you look on the labels of the food product that you want to purchase. Check out the nutritional labels on the back. That is so important. What you want to do is to make sure that you do not take in too many carbs. That's the main culprit of diabetes. And you cannot fight that with any kind of medication every day, all the time, every hour, every morning. It's not going to work. The doctor says you can get rid of the doctor just said that you can get rid of diabetes just by fasting, not eating. But there's other things you can do. I mean, you don't have to be that drastic. If you're going to eat, make sure you lower your intake of carbohydrates. That's the culprit. And that includes sugar. A lot of things you buy at the store, you wouldn't think have sugar in them. But the manufactured and the processing food, it's sugar there. It may be even salty, but it's sugar there. They put so much salt in some of these processed foods, whereas you cannot taste the sugar. But once you eat that, your body knows that there's sugar in it. Follow your doctor's advice. I'm not a doctor. I'm just going by what I heard and what I've experienced and what I've researched. And I've researched this over and over and over again, you know, because I want to be accurate when I'm talking to my audience, because I want my audience to get well. Just because you have diabetes, if it's this early stage of it, or you had it for 5 or 6 years, there is possibility of it being reversed. You being cured. Don't let anybody tell you that you cannot be cured, even your doctor. But like I said, a doctor might say you can't be cured. You need this medicine, you need that medicine, you need this medicine, you need it. Profitable. It's a money scam. They want your money. That's why they're keeping you on medication. That's why they're getting you addicted to all of these drugs. Healthcare in the United States is profitable, and it's wrong, but that's the truth. They want to keep you on medication you don't even need, medication that's going to make things even worse for you, worse for your sickness, and that's not right. It's not right. But we live in a whacked-out world, just like I've told the author T.K. Ware. He was on the show. He was great. This was his second appearance. I wish he could have stuck around for this. You know, because I'm pretty sure everybody somewhere knows someone who might have this disease and who may be able to benefit from some things that were said on this show. And this is George Wilder Jr., George Wilder Jr., broadcasting live from Chicago. I can barely say it. Sometimes I get so passionate passionate about the issues and topics that are presented on this show, it just leaves me speechless sometimes, you know. And I want to say once again that I'm very, very sorry to, I keep saying it, I'm pretty sure she's probably tired of hearing it. But like I said, technical difficulties can happen anytime, anywhere to anyone, and sometimes they happen to me. And I want to say that I'm glad you were here. I'm glad TK Ware was here. I mean, he brought people with him. They were listening, and that's wonderful, and that's great. Like I said before, the show I did yesterday, the 27th with the doctor, it is up on the website. You can listen to it, but be careful. Don't expect too much. It's a half of a show. It's going to cut off because I believe something happened to one of my computers. Oh, it was in the weather. But it was a good show so far, and it was informative so far. She got to say a few things about diabetes, and I'm pretty sure you will enjoy that. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, and that was Dr. Jason Fung. He did a great job. He was wonderful. I'm going to play that clip again in the near future because we're going to try to cure diabetes. I mean, if diabetes cannot be cured, it is something that the patient is not doing. And maybe one of those things is maybe the patient shouldn't be listening to his doctor, especially if his doctor is keeping him on insulin or a lot of other drugs to try to cure that. And the doctor said, Dr. Fung said that diabetes, if you're going to treat the sugars, you got to treat diabetes. You can't really treat the sugar. You can treat low blood sugar, high blood sugar with insulin, but you're still going to have diabetes. You're not treating diabetes. You're treating the symptoms to diabetes. You want to treat diabetes. And he said, basically, diabetes is a dietary disease, and you have to treat it as a dietary disease. That means it's food that caused the disease, and it's going to take food to cure the disease. In other words, food on top of food. But you can't eat the type of food, get the disease. You got to eat better. You know, you got to keep the carbs away. Add more fiber. And if you want, you can go without eating. Or just lower your carb intake, period. And I'm pretty sure exercise fits in there too. Exercise. It's a beautiful thing. You don't have to go to a gym. You don't have to join a gym or anything like that. You can always take a walk, a 30-minute walk or something, or a 60-minute walk, whatever you want to do out here in the sunshine. Will make your bone stronger. Diabetes basically eats you up inside. But that doesn't have to happen. That doesn't have to happen. Don't panic. Don't get afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't panic. I mean, hey, while the doctors are here, I'm here to help you out. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm just about off the air. I will be back on the air Thursday, July 2nd. Wow, the month is really gone. I mean, it is really gone. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm off the air. I'll see you next week. Bye. Take care. Everybody.